I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
Goodbye. Beautiful day in the neighborhood. Rain falling, drizzle. And, you know, deal with it. You're a grown-up. Good luck. Good luck out there. Steve Rzanich, Mary Vandeveld on the seventh floor. Well, not together. They're in separate rooms.
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you as well. Lou Manfredini's coming up. Of course, there's Dave. There's Andrea.
Hi.
Hello, Steven.
Sandberg's smiling ear to ear because she's leaving.
Oh, for warmer
weather. What do you
mean
she's leaving?
On a jet plane.
She's going to Mexico next week. She has a cartel meeting. She's got to go pick up a shipment. Of
Face cream?
Ice cream, right, yeah.
Face cream.
Bounty.
And, yeah, Bounty. She's got a big paper towel cartel she's involved with. And Super Joe Romano, you know, you've only officially been with us for a couple of weeks. Officially, are you prepared to take the show over next week?
Yeah, absolutely, I am.
All right.
Steve, there's an item that didn't make the top six.
What's
but I
that?
Think we should say it. Kylie Jenner yesterday complained about the new Snapchat.
I heard about this. And how much did the Snapchat stock lose?
Billions.
$1.4 billion because she said, anybody else on Snap anymore? Because I'm totally not.
Right. Well, and I have to agree. I'm on Snap because I have a almost 14-year-old stepdaughter. And so she put me on it. And I do like looking at things on there that she does. But it's hard to use now. So I agree with her, but because
New app, the new interface is confusing.
It's confusing, and I don't care for it. And I hate that I agreed with her, so I couldn't put it in the list.
But you wanted to mention it as a newsworthy
item. It's newsworthy when something loses billions of dollars.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, so anyway, just wanted to
I think it just shows the power of the Kardashians.
Shouldn't she be spending time feeding her new baby Stormy?
Totally no. The nanny is for that.
You can hold a baby with one hand and hold a phone in the other.
The nanny's not on Snap either. The nanny's totally giving up Snap.
What's crazy about the Jenner thing yesterday is she tweeted that out. And I don't think Twitter is even worth $1.7 billion.
Well, it better be, because I own a little.
So,
all right, let's do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
It was some 20 years ago that, what's her name? Tabitha Zippity Doodah, the one that's doing the figure skating commentary with Johnny Weir.
Tara Lipinski,
that's
Weir,
the one.
Yeah.
Tara Lipinski won as a 15-year-old in 1998, I believe.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
15-year-old Alina Zagatova of Russia won the gold in figure skating last night. A very close call, supposedly, by the judges. Let's go live to Pyongyang, where Dave is standing by. Dave, what do you know?
A very close call by the judges. Mm. Steve, back to you.
All right.
No, in all seriousness, she beat her training partner, Evgenia Medvedeva. I knew I was going to screw this up.
You've been
up.
In Pyongyang for a month, and you haven't been able to pronounce that name?
Mary, you know the name, don't you?
Oh.
Medvedeva.
I have to look it up again. Oh, okay. Medved.
Yes.
No, neither of you
I know her
name.
Zagatova. That's easy to say.
But
have you had a Zagatova? It's very tasty.
Steve, the big story was that the American skaters had their worst showing, they believe the worst showing ever, first time since 1964 or 1968, I guess it was, that they didn't have a skater in the top, at least fourth.
Mm.
So the highest ranked U.S. skater was the lady from
Brady
the area, Brady Tinnell from Carpentersville. She finished ninth.
Ninth was our best.
9, 10, 11.
Our best. Yes.
Oh. Oh, my God.
You had her.
Did she fall? Because I didn't watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she had a fall.
Yeah, boy.
And so did Karen Chen.
I think if you fall with style, that should be a positive.
You would think.
Like
you
a mid-fall, if you could turn it into an artist. Like you fall and then you lay out into a snow angel.
You know what? Yeah. Seriously, because they do that with the skiers, even if they fall, because a couple fell on their butt, and they still were pretty high ranked.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she I don't think she went all the way down, but like Mirai Nagasu was the one who had the
she wanted to mix the sweet corn?
Jump. Yes, the no. Mirai corn yes. girl. She was supposed to have our best. The one that has the USA tape on her leg. She did not have a good showing.
She was 10th.
That's KT tape.
She was 10th. Karen Chen was 11th.
All right.
She did fall.
Where are you?
Reporting live from Pyeongchang.
No, Pyongyang. Pyeongchang's in North Korea.
No, Pyeongchang is in South Korea.
Pyeongchang is where?
Where's Pyongyang?
Yeah, North Korea.
And her name is Medvedeva.
No, that's not right. Pyongyang is South Korea, isn't it?
No, it's Pyeongchang is where they...
Pyeongchang.
Why don't you just hang around the demilitarized zone until we get this figured out?
Watch for flying bullets.
Reporting live from Pyeongchang, Dave Edit, WGN Sports.
Quack me. Okay. Bob Mueller.
Mm-hmm.
Silver Bullet Bob Mueller kicking up the pressure on Paul Manafort and Mr. Gates as well, filing new charges against them. This is an amazing time in which we live, in that the president's former campaign advisor and his assistant are accused of money laundering to the total of another $30 million. And their sentences, their potential sentences, being doubled. And it barely makes the news.
Oh, how about that, right? Failed to pay taxes, Steve, for 10 years.
Am I forgetting something? Illinois educators called Donald Trump's proposal to arm teachers insanity, including Mayor Emanuel, said it's absurd. There's an amazing letter, an open letter that was written by a teacher that I want to share with you this morning. And also, we have some very disturbing... Well, go ahead and quack me. We have some very disturbing news about an armed sheriff, an armed guard at the school, who apparently... took a position outside the school and never went in and engaged the gunman for 6 minutes as he finished his killing spree.
Two other sheriff's deputies have been placed on desk duty this morning as well.
Not good. By the way, another story sort of related to law and order, I suppose, because it is. Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart says a dramatic increase in release of accused gun offenders has overwhelmed the electronic monitoring program. So they have bracelets, but we can't keep track of them?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that seems to be the problem.
That seems to be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Next, Governor Rauner had an awkward moment yesterday. Governor Rauner, who is going to be on this show in the 7 o'clock hour today, and an African-American man who has had Rauner speak at an event, part of a campaign.
Yeah, it was a Black History Month event.
Was doing a Black History Month event. And for the last 20 years, he has demonstrated diversity by giving you, if you were the speaker, he'd give you a glass of milk, whole milk. He would then talk about diversity and ask you to put a dollop of chocolate syrup in the milk. Mm-hmm. The chocolate syrup would sink to the bottom of the glass, and he would say, "That's not diversity. Diversity is when you stir it up."
Right, that means
then
inclusion.
You'd stir it up, it would be inclusion, then it becomes chocolate milk.
It's bizarre.
And then Governor Rauner drank the chocolate milk and he said, tastes good.
Said it's really,
so this
really
is
good.
Blown up into a national headline. Mm-hmm. Now look, if I'm Governor Rauner, I want to know who scheduled me for this and who didn't vet this event.
Right.
Because it's just awkward all over. In the meantime, the headlines don't tell the story. The story is actually in the story. Mm-hmm. So you need to...
It's bizarre, though. The whole demonstration is bizarre.
It's a strange thing for the governor to even be involved in. But again, it was an African-American man who set this up and actually did the thing. Speaking of that, next... Erica Harold, who's been on this show many times, is running for Illinois' Attorney General spot. And had a very bad conversation with a DuPage Republican. I don't have his name. Do you have his name?
I do. It's Winfield Township Republican Chairman Burt Minor.
Burt Minor apparently dropped the N-word a couple of times. Erica Harold is an African-American woman.
Mm-hmm.
And asked if she was a lesbo.
Right.
To her face.
It's...
And then, of course, after she said, "I'm offended by this," he continued. And there were other things that were used. Burt Minor has not responded, or he has?
He has not responded at this time. It's all horrible, but how he pressed her and almost bullied her, asking her, "Do you have children?" She said, "No." "Are you married?" She said, "No." "Have you ever been married?" She said, "No." And that's when he said, this is...
"What are you, a lesbo?"
"What are you, a lesbo?" I told them I was not, but I also made clear, she says, in our party, someone's sexual orientation should not be used to disqualify them from running for public office. And then he continued to use the N-word.
The Harvard-educated former
Miss America,
Is a little above this standard than having to put up with this.
Completely.
And just because she's an attractive woman doesn't mean she should be subject to this. No woman should
completely.
Be.
And for him to continue the conversation.
He's an idiot.
And even use these type of
he's
words.
He's not an alleged idiot.
Come
he's
on.
An idiot.
Now, he's also on the March 20th ballot, and there are people, including the Illinois Republican Party chairman and Jim Durkin, asking him to step down. To not
probably too late to get him off the ballot.
Yeah, it's too late to get him off the ballot, but asking him to just remove himself from the race.
He was endorsed, I think, last week or the week before by the Daily Herald.
Well, not much Daily Herald can do about that. Can you do an unendorsement? A de-endorsement?
I think you can. Yeah, absolutely.
That's your top six, and we'll come back with Lou in a second. Lou Manfredini, and you need to jump on. Oh, we haven't even talked about the Missouri governor. Lou Manfredini is next, and if you want to be Lou's first caller, the number is 312-981-7200. This is Steve Cochran. Thanks for listening to 720 WGN.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
You're taking a lot of vacations. I just heard you're going to be in Mexico next week. Are you going with Sandberg?
Yeah. Well, she wasn't supposed to say anything.
But you're gone a lot. What's your deal? like how you're attacked the minute you get on the show.
I know. Well, this is an annual trip.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing. I'm just teasing you.
You know, Steve, let me tell you the secret to life for the young people.
All right, let me write this down. Go ahead.
You got to enjoy your life along the way.
Stop and smell the roses?
Because life is precious.
Life is precious.
And
what about the roses? Are we smelling the roses?
We don't know what the future holds.
We don't know what could happen.
Work hard. Save a little bit, plan for the future, but enjoy the ride along the way.
Work hard, play hard.
Right.
What about the roses? Are we smelling the roses or aren't we?
They're thorny. I like them, but the roses are temperamental.
Don't get too close to them.
Right.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Don's in Batavia. Say hi to Lou, Don.
Hello, Lou.
Morning.
Morning. Yeah, I had a question about a high-efficiency furnace. We had one installed 3 years ago. And this winter, what happened was the furnace shut down. It started blowing hot air. We had somebody come out, and they said that the intake was frozen.
Right.
Now, my question is that, you know, I work in the trades, and I talked to somebody, but they said that the intake should be on the top, and the exhaust should be on the bottom, or is it reversed when they mounted to the outside.
This is where Lou closes his eyes and he pictures your problem. Stand by, Don.
I actually just did. So, you know, the location of the of intake is important. Typically, it's side to side. It's not up top or bottom. And for those that don't know, with high efficiency furnaces, the exhaust and the intake are two separate pipes that go out typically the side of the house. And that intake, depending on the weather, like when we got all that snow, if this happened when it was really cold, it can suck in that all that snow, because it's a fair amount of pressure as it comes in. And also, if it's too close to the exhaust, it can suck in some of that moisture, and that's where it freezes, and the furnace says, hey, I don't have a clear pathway here. I'm not going to allow it to turn on.
So how do you fix that?
Well, a couple ways. Depending on what's going on, you could probably solve the problem simply by putting an elbow. That's all done with Schedule 40 plumbing pipe. And if that intake more than likely is a straight pipe coming out, if you were to take a 45-degree street elbow, because more than likely there's a coupler on the end, and just stick it on the end and angle it away, you probably solve the problem and it'll never happen again.
Find that where? In our plumbing aisle?
Plumbing aisle at the hardware store.
Okay.
Excellent. I thank you very
much. Schedule 40. By the way, don't go away, my friend, because not just for listening, but because you and Lou are going to spend the week in Mexico. You've also won yourself.
Pacifico's for everybody.
You've also won yourself. Are we still giving away these deals? It's not on the prices. We are? You've won that fabulous adjustable situation thermostat.
April Air Wi-Fi thermostat.
That's it, man.
Just the temperature in your home from anywhere in the world, just from your smartphone.
Well, look at you.
Even Mexico, huh?
Even in Mexico. I'm going to turn your heat up and down while I'm on vacation.
I hope you turn it off because it's cold.
Right. And then he'll send it to you. After he mocks you, he'll send it to you. All right, Don, hold on. give us two things we need to be thinking about before you leave for Mexico.
It's funny. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about all this rain we have and all this flooding. It's the type of thing where everybody runs out in the middle of it to go buy all these pumps and utility pumps. The one thing I want people to think about now is, and it's raining today, go to the hardware store or the home center and buy an inexpensive utility pump. These things are less than $100, and they are submersible pumps that are probably the size of, if you took two 16-inch softballs and put them on top of each other, and you can connect a garden hose to it that, if you get a flooded backyard or a little bit of water anywhere, they suck the water right from the base of the unit. So even with a half an inch of water, you could put this down in that area and just have it in, as my father-in-law say, I have it in stock. And then you've got this pump in case you need it. It's a good fail-safe investment to keep in your garage or keep in your basement.
Okay, well, one more.
The other thing is what you need to do when it comes to, if we're going to stay on the terms of pumps, you have to understand the age of the pumps you have. All some pumps fail. I mean, we hear it in the ads all the time, the PermaSeal has, and they're right. The average life of a sump pump is 7 years. Now, there are people that have pumps that are 20 years old, but when you get to 7, 10 years, that pump needs to be replaced. The switch, the thing that turns it on and off, you should probably replace every 3 years. So that's really the thing that does most of the work. And it's the kind of thing that, boy, I have no idea how old that pump is. I moved into the house in 1996.
Right.
Well, chances are you should replace that pump because if it fails, you're up you know what.
So get a PermaSeal representative over to just take a look at it, even if it's running fine.
It's not a bad idea to have it inspected and looked at, and certainly you can have PermaSeal come out and take a look at it. But for those that are willing to try this stuff themselves, you could hire a plumber if you wanted, or you could try changing out a pump yourself if you have that skill set.
No, certainly I do.
Yeah, you can go ahead and do it yourself.
Yeah, here's how to do it: I'd unplug it from the wall, and I'd call Lou.
Right,
but only on a day it's not raining. All right, last question: we've all dropped a bunch of salt and debris and residue on our garage floors.
Yeah.
And some of us have a nice new concrete driveway.
Mm.
So we want to get a hose, flush the garage floor out onto the driveway.
Take a broom and brush it off and neutralize any of that ice melt that's on there. And the nice thing about...
Want to neutralize it, just pour water on it?
Sure. The water will help to dilute all
that. But make sure you get it off your driveway as well.
Correct. And so
blow it out into the street where the public can deal with it.
Yeah, right. So ruin the public street. I'll tell you what, if you're going to do the thing in the drive in the garage, you can buy a broom will do fine and it should evaporate. But if you bought a shop squeegee that you could put on the end of a broom handle, that would help get all that water out of there, and almost as if you're doing the windows, it'll take the water right out. And then in the driveway, just hose it down, let it go into the yard, and pay special attention to right at the area where the grass meets the driveway.
Just like the squeegee you use in the shower, Steve.
It's bigger.
Just like the squeegee I don't use in the shower.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so a shop squeegee. I was in a band called the Shop Squeegees.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have a great trip next week.
Thank you very much.
And have fun messing with Don the listener.
I'm going to turn his heat on and off.
By playing with his
thermostat.
Another
Pacifico, Alejandro. That's his name.
What part of Mexico are you going to?
Puerto Vallarta. Actually, Miss Maloya, which is a...
You're taking Miss Maloya to Puerto Vallarta?
Taking Miss Maloya. My wife doesn't know. She's coming with me. Miss Maloya is a town a little bit south of Puerto Vallarta, and it's actually where they filmed the movie, which there's signs everywhere, The Night of the Iguana.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Big fan.
With Elizabeth Taylor
totally.
And Richard Burton.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Dave remembers that movie.
Yeah, of course.
Dave was
one of my favorites.
Dave does most of Elizabeth. No, he did most of Elizabeth Taylor's stunts.
He was the best boy.
He was the best boy.
He was the key grip.
He's never been the best boy.
I was okay.
He was the key grip.
You were the okay boy.
Yeah. Well, he was young.
Have a great trip, pal.
Love you.
See you. That's Lou Manfredini. Let's do this. We'll take a break. Then we'll come back, and Andrea will do the headlines in a moment at 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Got a new girl. 6:45. Look, everybody's entitled to believe as they believe. But in times of great stress and strain, deferring to the expert seems to be a smart thing to do. We found out not one but a couple, or if not three or four, disturbing things yesterday about the Marjorie Stoneman High School disaster and travesty and mass shooting of a week ago. And Audrey just told you about the armed deputy who took a position outside the school and for 6 minutes listened to gunshots inside without acting. So for the president's push to arm teachers and arm people in schools, it's a perfect example of what can happen, and that someone with a gun freezes or refuses to get involved. So there are other ways to go about this. And Rebecca Field is a teacher in Richmond, Virginia, who wrote an amazing open letter that got viral very quickly. And I'm going to read it to you. It's a little long, so I'm going to go through this as quickly as I can. But here's what the teacher, Rebecca Field, says. Nowhere in my contract does it state that if the need arises, I have to shield students from gunfire with my own body. If it did, I wouldn't have signed it. I love my job. I love my students. I'm a mother of two amazing daughters, a wife of a wonderful man. I have a dog I adore. I don't want to die defending other people's kids. I want to teach kindness and responsibility and what I was taught to teach, and that's art history. That's what I'm supposed to do. Blocking bullets? I'm not supposed to do that. I imagine that if somebody was trying to kill my students, I would try to save them with all my being. I'd probably jump on top of a child to save his or her life. And yes, I may be one of those heroic teachers that the media writes tributes to after, but I'm furious that I would have to make that sacrifice, and I'm incensed that my own children would lose their mother because I chose to be a teacher. I chose to be a teacher knowing that on most days I would not be able to use the bathroom until 4 o'clock. I chose teaching knowing I'd be grading papers all weekend and working far beyond the hours of my contract. I chose to teach even though it meant that I would miss every awards assembly and field trip that my daughters needed me to attend. I even signed up to sit in a counselor's office with a teenager on my lap, holding her as she sobbed through an anxiety attack. I signed up to ask a child if they were considering committing suicide and then relaying this terrible information to a parent. It seems like a lot to agree to, but that part I knew I was getting into. I did not sign up to be ripped apart by a spray of bullets that come from a semi-automatic rifle. At the end of my teaching contract, it says I'll perform other duties to be assigned. I don't interpret those words as, quote, bleeding to death on the floor of my classroom. The anger that courses through my body after a school shooting in this country is accompanied by pure panic. I'm terrified of my own children dying in school, first and foremost, but I'm also terrified that the responsibility that sits on my shoulders as a teacher is far greater than I can rationally accept. I'm back to school night. I look at the gazes of parents in front of me as we silently make a pact. I'm giving you the most precious part of me with the knowledge that you will shield my child's body with your own when the need arises. They say this with their eyes. I agree to the responsibility and make a silent, unbreakable oath before them. As I am telling them about the 20,000 years of global art history that I will be teaching their child, I'm also agreeing to die if the need arises. When I'm in a parent's place at my daughter's school, I'm asking the same of her teacher. This teacher may end up being the only thing blocking a bullet aimed for my daughter's head. I'm furious. How dare you force me to choose between my own kids and those that I teach? How dare you allow adults who love guns to be more important than a generation of children growing up in fear? I don't want to spend mornings memorizing my children's clothing so I can identify them later. I don't want to spend professional development hours learning how to save a few more lives by setting up barricades. Sometimes when a kid is driving me crazy in class, I think to myself, would I die for you? Would I lose everything to save you from harm? I have my moments when I wonder. Instead of making dead teachers into saints, make them safer when they're alive. Make it possible for schools to have smaller class sizes so that we can get to know our students and look out for the ones that need help before they do something. Hire more counselors and school nurses and social workers and psychologists so that many people are caring for each kid. Help us prevent this from happening again. Take away guns from people who will murder us. Stop taking money from the NRA and proving how soulless you are. Keep us safe so I can do my job, and how dare you put me into constant danger so that you can be reelected? How dare you make me choose between saving children or making my own children motherless? How dare you make me into a hero when all I want to do is teach? How about that?
Bravo.
Written again by Rebecca Field, a teacher from Richmond, Virginia, and partly in honor of Scott Beagle, a teacher at Marjorie Stoneman, who died protecting students a week ago when all he wanted to do was teach.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I apologize for those of you trying to text the show. We have a major problem with receiving and sending texts on our, well, it's our text doohickey. There's a word I haven't used in a while, doohickey. I don't think I've ever used it. But the text app and platform we use is not functioning. So until we get that fixed, I apologize, but I know that many would want to see this this letter specifically. The story is a CNN posted story, but it's all over the internet. Rebecca Field, teacher from Richmond, Virginia. Sandberg posting it now at Cochran Show on Twitter and Steve Cochran Show on Facebook and at WGNradio.com and social media sites as well, or social media platforms for us as well. And by the way, it's posted now. That's how fast we work. Okay, that's how fast Super Sandberg Joe works. And Sandberg
yeah.
work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And coming up after 7, we're going to congratulate our new White Sox pre- and post-game team. It's going to be just a full-on attack from Andy Mazur, Adam Hoge, and Mark Harmon.
Yeah.
What's the first pitch today, Dave?
2:05. We'll go on the air at 2 o'clock today.
2 o'clock today.
Although, Adam Hoge on WGNradio.com on Sports Central will do White Sox pregame.
It looks like the pre-pregame.
There you go.
Yes.
Governor Rauner in 7 o'clock hour as well. I couldn't find one of my 14 White Sox hats this morning, so I grabbed my no-logo black hat. Close as I could come on short notice, but, you know, the thought is there. Speaking of sports, Chris Tamulis from the LPGA in town. Next week, she's going to be making an appearance at the Northwestern men's game against, well, she was there last night. What am I talking about? And did she make any of the putts that she rolled before we pick up the phone and talk to her?
I saw her.
Were they full court putts?
Yes, yes. So roughly 94 feet, baseline to baseline. The one I saw, I don't know how many she took, just missed. Got a big reaction from the crowd.
Let me go to Chris on this. Chris, did you have your caddy helping you read the court?
No, he didn't make it. Just me. I had to do it all on my own.
So the court is, you know, it's a basketball court, so it's not the typical surface. Did you find there was a significant break in the putt after you hit your first one?
Well, I only got to take one putt.
What?
Yeah, I know. They only gave me one, and it was like the hole was like a mouse hole in someone's baseboard.
Yeah, it was like shoot the puck at the Blackhawks game, Steve.
She gets one shot.
And she just missed. She just
puck.
Chris,
puck,
I thought it was great. I thought it was going in.
Shoot the puck, you get three.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it was pretty close. But unfortunately.
Was she trying to win money for somebody? What were we doing? What were we doing? What was the point of the contest? Just obviously from plugging the tournament, obviously.
Everybody was gonna get a ticket to KPMG event.
Oh, to the KPGM event.
Oh, that's
okay.
Cool.
Okay. Well, they should all come out anyway and see Chris when she's actually putting on a golf green. All right. So let's talk about the KPMG event. This is exciting. This is pro golf in Chicago the way it should be every summer.
That's right.
All right. So when and where?
We're playing at Kemper Lake the last weekend in June. It's the first time we played up there. Mm-hmm. Last year we played at Olympia Field. The year before we played in Sahali out in Washington.
Yep.
And the year before we played at Westchester Country Club outside of the city.
And obviously you came to your senses. You got rid of those dog tracks, Sahali and Westchester. And came to Chicago to play some real golf. You know, Kemper was the site of the PGA in, I think, 89.
Mm-hmm.
When Chris was not even a glimmer in her parents' eyes.
Yeah, right. I'm one of the old ladies out on tour now, so.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure you are.
Yeah.
But it's going to be exciting. The best talent in golf on the ladies' tour are going to be out there. And, I mean, don't just bring your daughters. Bring your sons, bring your grandfathers, your grandmothers, and your uncles and aunts, too.
That's right.
So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Chris, you turned pro in 2003. I want to know the awesome changes that you've seen, including such an interest in women's golf over the years since you turned pro.
Oh, yeah. It's been crazy. I mean, I would say when I was a kid growing up, golf definitely was not the cool sport to play. And
Now it's getting younger and younger. When I first started on tour, we kind of had, kind of went through some waves where we had events and then we didn't have a great schedule there in 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11. And it has just grown exponentially. Obviously, overseas, it's really, really big in Asia. The influx of Korean players and Thai players and everything, it's been amazing to see how many players we have. I mean, probably the last 2 years, even more from Thailand, where, I mean, I wouldn't really necessarily think that that's a big sport over there, but...
Well, it's a way of life in Asia. I mean, the kids in Asia, I mean, golf is get up in the morning, golf, and golf till you go to sleep.
Yeah, it is. I've heard Mike Wan, our commissioner, has said that it's kind of like football in the United States. Golf, like football.
Yeah, college football. Yeah, it's got that vibe. All right, Chris, so we're expecting a very big season out of you. I've bet a lot of my first grandchild's college funds on you.
Oh, thank you. Well, that's a lot of pressure, but I had such a bad season last year, and I thought I was really going to have a good one. So I'm feeling a lot better. I'm feeling a lot better standing over the ball this year, and I've worked really hard on it. And, you know, I've played out there for 14 years, and I know I still have good golf ahead of me. So
absolutely. You're just hitting your prime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Downward slide.
No. Hey, listen, what am I, your mental coach? Stop it with the downward slide. This is going to be a huge year. Who's your best friend on tour?
You know, I have a lot of friends out there, but probably my closest friends are Brittany Lindstrom and Kim Kaufman and Ilhi Lee. And I'm really, really good friends with Brittany's caddy. Misty Pedersen.
Mm-hmm.
She's a great friend of mine, too.
Well, it would have been nice if she showed up last night to read the basketball court for you.
You know, it would have been nice, but she's working in Asia, right?
Whatever.
She's overseas.
It's just me.
Whatever. Yeah, Google KPMG Women's PGA Championship at Kemper Lakes coming in June. It's going to be great, Chris. Thanks for jumping on.
Absolutely. You guys have a great day.
See you later.
Thanks, Chris. I should have given her at least three putts, I think.
One putt?
One putt, but I thought it was nice that they put grass down on the court at halftime.
Did they actually grew grass?
It? Yeah. No, they wheeled it in.
Oh. Okay. As we continue, we need a break before the news, and then we'll come back in 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
When I was growing up playing wiffle ball, this song used to play whenever I'd come in to relieve myself. Man, that sounded really wrong.
Yeah, I was. You might want to rethink that.
That just didn't. You know what I? You probably don't know what I mean. Let's go live to MLB's Andy Mazur. That's right, Major League Baseball's Andy Mazur. He's not our Andy Mazur. He's MLB's Andy Mazur, and you're going to do the pregame for us.
I am. I'm excited to do that, too. I mean, I'm happy to be back in doing some Major League Baseball and doing some White Sox games with the young up-and-coming team they have.
Yes, and speaking of young and upcoming team, you're also going to be working with young Ed Farmer and young DJ.
I thought that's who he meant.
Yes.
Of course, that's what he meant, yes.
All right, wait, give me a player you're most excited about before I bring on the postgame knuckleheads.
Yeah, right now I'm looking at Yoan Moncada. I want to see what he can do after coming up and doing some nice things toward the end of last year.
Oh, we have exciting news, Andy. Lourdes Duarte was in here from Channel 9 yesterday. She of Cuban heritage. She has agreed to be our official translator whenever we have any of the Cuban players on.
Oh, nice.
So we'll be able to interview them every day if we want.
Perfect.
Of course, the problem of that being that we'll have to trust that Lourdes is telling us what they're actually saying.
That's true.
Which she probably will. Probably.
All right, stand by, and let me get Adam Hogue in here. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, guys.
And say hi to Andy.
Hey, Andy. How are you?
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Say hi to Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Adam.
Hi. Say hi to Andrea.
I saw Dave last night.
Say hi to Andrea.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Adam.
What about Mary Vandeville?
Hi, Mary.
Good morning.
This is really fun.
You are a dyed-in-the-wool White Sox fan for, I don't know, probably for life. So tell me, as a professional and as a fan, who are you most excited about?
This is, by the way, a true story, and there's photo to prove it. My first White Sox game, I was 8 days old.
8 days old?
Yeah, 8 days old. My parents brought me to a game, which you can question that decision probably. Wow. But, you know, this year, Yoan Moncada is the obvious answer, but I'm excited to see Tim Anderson at the major league level to see if he can bounce back from what was a very tough year from him, both on the field and especially off the field, after losing one of his best friends who was gunned down.
Yeah.
So I think the emotional state of him getting back this season is very important for the team.
And joining you with postgame duties is our own Mark Carmen, who joins us now. Morning, Carms.
Good morning, Steve.
And you'll be out at the rate, as we're calling the field now. And it's better than the guaranteed. The rate just sounds cooler. Give me your player.
Great.
Give me your player to watch.
I'm going with Lucas Giolito, Steve. You win with pitching. The Sox need someone to emerge as a number one starter. He was great at the end of last year and has an opportunity, hopefully, to continue to do that as we kick off 2018.
He's a big boy. Big boy. Giolito, what, 6'6", 6'7", something like that?
I want to say 6'5", Steve, but, yes, he's a big boy.
Enlisted, I'm just looking at the roster now, enlisted at 255. Look, he's 280 if he's an ounce. Come on, are you kidding? All right, Dave, what do you have for our pre and post?
Well, first of all, I want to mention, and we touched on this earlier, Adam's actually going to do a pregame show today at WGNRadio.com on Sports Central at 1 o'clock.
Wait a minute. We have a pregame?
Well, it's sort of a pregame because in spring training we're not doing the Andy Mazur full pregame show.
Yes, right.
So it will be Adam today with Ed and DJ from Arizona. Right, Adam?
Yeah, that's right. They're going to join us from the booth at Camelback Ranch. These 2 o'clock starts for spring training work well for Sports Central at 1.
Feel free, Dave. Jump right back in here.
Okay.
So, normally, we don't have that kind of space on the show.
Yeah. Andy, you're welcome to join the pregame show, too, if you'd like today.
Yes, well, Andy, be on call.
Yeah.
I'll definitely be on call. Sure.
Well, let me get all of you guys' thoughts on just there's a lot of optimism around this team, and it certainly seems to be well founded because you're not just hearing it from a few people who've watched the development and the building of this roster, but you're hearing it from people around baseball who are checking in Glendale and seeing what's going on there. Based on what you've seen and what your research and what you've heard, is this well-founded? Adam, why don't you start?
Yeah, sure. First of all, if you're a fan who wants to pick a year to go to spring training, this is an excellent year because, you know, just the way we started this segment, or maybe that was in your, I think it was in Kevin's report in your sports report, Dave, the amount of players that are going to play in these spring training games that you want to see from the minor leagues, Eloy Jimenez, Michael Kopech, who's going to pitch, I think, this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, the depth of the farm system, it's like the Cubs a few years ago where there's so many guys. They're not all going to be on the major league roster in April. But even if you look at the major league roster that's going to start in April, there are guys like Tim Anderson, like obviously Jose Abreu, who's now an established veteran at this point, and enough guys that showed at least a little bit of promise last year, like Matt Davidson, Nicky Delmonico, that there's some talent on the team that if you supplement that with some of these young kids that are probably going to come up in the middle of the season, I understand why there's even optimism about 2017 at this point. I think thinking the playoffs is a little bit of a stretch, but certainly I think this team can be competitive and exciting.
Wait, 2017? What, do you got a time machine? 2017?
Yeah, 2018. 2018. I'm still at that point in the early of the year where I don't know what year it is.
Okay, I got it.
It takes me to March to adjust, usually.
Yeah, I thought you were a Michael J. Fox. Wait, that'd be Back to the Future. None of this analogy works. All right, Andy Mazur, give me a prospect that's going to make the team.
Give you a prospect that's going to make the team. Let me think about that for a second here because, you know, obviously it's a little too early for a guy like Luis Robert. You know, the only one that really has a chance, and I think they would really prefer not to have him start the season up at the big league level, would be Eloy Jimenez. I mean, because, you know, we saw this kid a little bit with when he was with the Cubs and what he did in the Futures game in San Diego, not only hitting the ball, but able to really make some great plays in the outfield. But I really think that they feel that he would be better served at least not starting the season with the big league club. But, you know, you never know, because guys can play their way in, guys can play their way out as well during spring training. I mean, I know the stats don't mean as much because there's a formula the teams use, especially with games in Arizona, because of the fact that the ground is hard and the sky is high, and we've seen some things before with players that have done very well in spring training and come up and laid an egg as far as regular season starting. I mean, it's a different game. Obviously, it's the weather is much worse during March and April, and especially when you're opening up in the Midwest. So I really think they feel better served with him in the minors, but that's a guy I'm anxious to hear and see what he can do in spring training.
And Mark Harmon is really excited about the park, Andrea, because as you know, whenever he's in here filling in for Dave, about 8:30, 9 o'clock, he gets hangry.
Oh,
angry,
completely,
hungry.
Completely.
And he runs out and grabs, you know, a full turkey dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your question?
My question to the guys, all three, we're hearing all about new vendors, new food at I keep wanting to say the cell.
The rate.
Rate field. Best food at the rate.
Well, Carbs, you must have eaten your way around the park. You must know what you're talking about.
He was a vendor there, for crying out loud.
Yeah, Mark was a vendor, right?
Yeah, I did start my professional career in 1992 at what was then New Comiskey Park, guys. And as a Dove Bar salesman, also cotton candy, I picked the lightest items. You can read into that if you'd like to, perhaps pick at the lack of strength I was rolling with at that time. I'm a big fan of, the corn product is just it's a beautiful, nice, tasty treat. It's available upper deck, lower deck. You put in a little, you go all the fixings, then you throw in your grilled hot dog. Your beverage.
What are you talking about? Corn really product? What is it? A bowl of sweet corn? What is it?
It's an ear of corn, right?
Yeah. It's the corn that they chop it off for you. They put it in a little dish, and they put all the
so it's a bowl of corn, and then you add stuff.
Yeah.
Of all the food in a baseball park, you pick the bowl of corn where you add stuff to it.
Yes, you can't. You want to get stuff that you can't have everywhere. You want the churro, you want the corn. I mean, bacon on a stick is cool, but you can get that anyway. Like when I'm eating at now Guaranteed Rate Field, Steve, everything's great, but I like to go with the specialty.
But you don't even know the name of it. You said it's the corn product. What's the name of it?
It's you look for
Super
the
Joe. Do you know the name everywhere. Of it? Super, let's go live to Super Joe.
Elotes.
Elotes?
Elotes.
Elotes.
It's probably got a little cheese in there, too. A little cheese.
Well, you apparently put anything in there. Motor
jalapeno.
Oil. Yeah. Aluminum. Whatever.
I like how Carm said you can get the bacon on a stick anywhere. So.
Exactly. All right, boys. We're excited to hear you all season long. Andy, welcome back to the Bigs. And
thank you very much.
Sports Central, 1 o'clock every day at WGNRadio.com. Elotes to you, Carms.
Steve, great to be with you. Thank you.
All right, there you go.
See you.
Bye, boys.
By the way, when you get to the rate, try the corn product.
Yeah.
Boy, is that ever a great sales pitch.
Corn product. I thought I was talking to Orion for a second.
Best answer to any question I've ever asked, Carm.
Corn product.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
A pair of tickets to see the Monkees present the Mike and Mickey Show at the Copernicus Center in Chicago, June 14th. Mike Nesmith, Mickey Dolenz. Tickets available at CopernicusCenter.org and on sale this morning at 10 a.m. at Ticketfly.com. Let's go seventh caller, 312-981-7200. 312-781-9200. Here is the brilliant text question idea that's come out of the two producers of this program, executive producer Sandberg and assistant technical producer to the stars, Super Joe Romano.
Yeah.
What's the name of a food you don't know the name of?
What's the name of a food you don't know the name of?
What's a food you really like but you can't think of the name of it?
That's
and what I tried
one.
To point out to them is, what are people going to say? They're going to go, you know that one place I go to with the food?
Wow. You know what, though? People do that in Greektown. They'll say, oh, I love the meat with the rice.
I'm sort
know,
of...
And they don't know that it's like out of knee or something.
In a twisted way, I'm sort of fascinated to see what the answers might be. So here's the text question. 312-981-7200. Give me a food you can't think of the name of that you love. Like corn product.
That was so funny. It actually is a cob corn, like corn on the cob.
Mexican street corn. It's
yeah.
Elotes?
Elotes.
Elotes? Seventh caller gets the monkey's tickets. John, when are we doing the Rouse Center?
We are doing the Rouse Center on March 24th, Saturday night, 8 p.m., Rouse Center, downtown Crystal Lake. We're doing it with Mike Toomey from WGN-TV in the morning, Tim Benker, myself, and you. All stand-up comedy all the time. A lot of fun. You can go to rousecenter.org for tickets or go to or just call the box office at 815-356-9212. How great is that?
It's going to be fun. It's a white-knuckle production. It's a blue...
It's a blue
blazer production.
Blue blazer...
Yes. It's a Blue Thunder Blue White Thunder. Lightning production.
Yes.
Yeah. Lastly, before we got one more break for the news, right? And then Governor Renner. Texter, why doesn't WGN give Dave a damn microphone at his house so he doesn't have to come to the show? The guy's working on basketball games late. I hear him in the morning. I see him on TV. He's obviously talented and very smart, but he's getting up there in age.
Can we just get back to Karen?
Wow.
He's getting up there in age. With all the new technology, it makes it seamless, and it just seems to make sense. Sign, Dave's dad. No, it's somebody that's concerned about you.
Well, Dave is the same age as my parents.
Okay, Mary, really?
Wow, the pile
back to the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Governor Rauner's on the phone, 742 now. Let's go there. Good morning, Governor. How are you?
Steve, good morning. I'm terrific, sir. How are you doing?
I am doing fine. Thank you for coming on. And what's your summation of the state of the race this morning? How are you feeling? Are you confident?
Well, you know what? Elections are important. This one really, really matters. It's essential because if Mike Madigan gets to have his handpicked candidate, Pritzker, become governor, Madigan will control everything. And we can turn out the lights because they want to control a redistricting and they want to gerrymander the districts again after the 2020 census. And Madigan and Pritzker both said they want to put in a huge new graduated income tax that will be devastating for job creation in the state. It'll crush the middle class. So it'd be horrible for Illinois. That's why we got to stay strong and win this election.
The redistricting thing and the gerrymandering is a huge problem. It gets a little deep in the weeds, but it's vitally important. What's the Illinois effect of the Pennsylvania case that just came down?
Well, we got to see. There are cases on gerrymandering that actually go into the U.S. Supreme Court, and it's the federal cases that probably matter the most because they could have take precedence over state law. There are fights about gerrymandering. Unfortunately, both political parties around the country have gerrymandered districts, and that's one of the reasons we have such a dysfunctional government and political system in America. We have districts drawn to lock in incumbents on a highly partisan basis, so the incentive to compromise isn't there. The centrists don't get elected, and it locks in power, and it encourages corruption like we've had in Illinois. Madigan has gerrymandered Illinois' districts for 20 years, and it's the reason our government is so broken.
Yeah, because you've been in control, and the bottom line is this. Every 10 years, the party in power gets to decide what the map looks like, and I've said this a million times. If you took a piece of stained glass from a church window and dropped it, that would be your district of borders. It's ridiculous. So having said that, neither party should have that kind of power. It should be a bipartisan committee that helps decide what the map looks like so we'd actually have legitimate races.
No, that's right. And I advocated for redistricting reform in Illinois. A group of leaders was led mostly by the business community in Chicago, tried to get redistricting reform and a constitutional referendum done. And Madigan sued in state court with his lawyer, and he won. He blocked redistricting reform for Illinois, not surprising, just the way he blocked term limits for Illinois when I did the referendum through a voter referendum process. It's Madigan has rigged the current system, doesn't want to change it, and so far he's beaten us in court. But we don't want to give up or give in. And what I'm recommending to everyone in the state of Illinois, ask your candidate for the General Assembly whether they'll promise, sign a pledge, promise to do two things, vote to put term limits on the ballot, and vote, so we can vote term limits up or down, and vote, promise to vote for somebody, anybody else other than Mike Madigan to be speaker, because there's lots of good Democrats, lots of good Republicans who could be a good, honest speaker. We need a new one.
Governor, you've been accused of being anti-union, and obviously you've said that's not the case many, many times. Next week, the Supreme Court will hear arguments on the Janus Union case, and I'm curious the impact that will have on Illinois union workers.
Yes, thanks, Andrea. That's a very important question. So next week, the Supreme Court will hear a case that I actually brought originally. I filed the lawsuit that this case is. I did it my first few weeks in office in 2015. This case is about freedom of speech, freedom of political association, and it's also about ending a corrupt bargain, ending corruption in government. And what do I mean by that? Basically, this lawsuit is about whether in government, in taxpayer-funded situations, employees have to be forced to join a union and forced to pay union dues, even if they disagree. In government, it's different than in the private sector. Government unions are fundamentally different. All their work by its very nature, everything they do is political. Everything they do in government touches politics and government. And if a employee is forced to pay union dues against their will, that's a violation of their free speech. It's a violation of their free political association. That's the case that I brought. The Supreme Court will hear it. And I believe they'll rule in favor of free speech. We'll find out. That'll be ruled in the coming months. But what's really at the core here, and this is the big difference between government unions and trade unions, private sector unions, in government, there is a corrupt bargain. Basically, a government union boss can go to a politician or a candidate for office and say, look, I'll give you a whole bunch of our money, which is taxpayer-funded dues. I'll give you some of my workers to campaign for you, taxpayer-funded. And in return, when you get in office, I'll negotiate my contract with you. That's a conflict of interest. It's fundamental conflict of interest. If that happened in the private sector, somebody would go to jail. But in government, it's standard. That's the reason I'm the first governor in Illinois history. I refused to take any money from government unions because I represent taxpayers, and I will not do that conflict of interest. To show how corrupt it truly is, Blagojevich, who's now still in prison, former Governor Rob Blagojevich.
Yeah, we're familiar with him.
Get himself. Yeah. When he was running, he went to the unions, government unions, and he said, look, I want millions from you, and I want campaign workers from you. In return, I'll force your membership up. When he got in office, he went to state employees, and he said, hey, if you join a union, I'll give you 4% compound raises while I'm governor. If you don't join a union, I will never give you a raise as long as I'm governor. He forced thousands of state employees to join a union against their will.
Yeah, it's political blackmail, because it's political blackmail. And I feel badly for the people who have chosen this as a career path, who get railroaded when they choose not to be, because these are good, hardworking people who don't have other avenues in a lot of cases and get squeezed into it.
Thank you,
Governor, for answering that.
What do you think when you saw the Jeannie Ives ad? And by that, I mean the ad where she slams and stereotypes transgender people and various other things.
I think it's shameful, and I think it's mean-spirited.
And she has come hard and fast after you, and there was a Tribune editorial board meeting where she seemed to scold you for you being too hard on Mike Madigan. Was there context to that that's not in the commercial?
She is way too soft on Mike Madigan. She's been in the legislature. She's been terrible on taxes. She's come out and said she doesn't think Mike Madigan's income tax should be rolled back. I proposed a budget to roll it back. She's been terrible on property taxes. She was the only legislator who did not vote to increase the property tax exemption so people in Illinois could get their property taxes down. She's bad on taxes. She's bad on Madigan. And she's been very mean-spirited and shameful. And she's associated herself with some not good people. So my primary focus is on beating Madigan and Pritzker. That's the real corruption in Illinois. Pritzker has been part of the inside dealings in state government with Blagojevich and Madigan. He's funded them for years, self-dealing. He's a terrible, terrible candidate, and he's Madigan's first choice. and we've got to defeat them in November.
Governor, I also wanted to ask you, Illinois voters could be asked in November about legalizing marijuana for recreational use in the state. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a very important issue. We obviously have it for medical treatments, and that was the law, and I've actually expanded a few of the prescription uses for that where it's appropriate or medical experts have advised. In terms of recreational use, I think we should be cautious. We should move slowly. It's a massive human experiment, and Colorado is experimenting, California now, Oregon. I think we should study what's happening there. In fact, Democratic Governor Hickenlooper in Colorado has recommended that it's causing major changes and disruptions in Colorado, and he has recommended other states wait and study what's happening in Colorado before they make a move, because in terms of the level of addiction, DUI arrests, behavioral problems, and we don't know what it does to developing brains in young people because the marijuana chemistry has changed over the years. We all don't know what it does to pregnant women, et cetera. So I'm recommending we do not legalize marijuana. We study what's going on in other states and then decide what makes sense.
The biggest news of the last couple of weeks, and I know we're long here, so we'll let you go on this, but the biggest news is obviously this nightmare, this travesty that happened in Florida with another school shooting. Where are you on guns in Illinois, and how do we keep kids safe in schools in Illinois?
Well, it's a critical question. It's so heartbreaking, devastating. These mass shootings are horrible. We've got to come together as, you know, it shouldn't be a partisan issue. We should talk about how do we keep guns out of the hands of criminals, especially out of the mentally ill. It seems like there's a mental illness issue in this case with the shooter. I think it's an issue in many of the other instances. We've got to come together around ways to limit this, and we'll look forward to a good discussion about it. Illinois already has some of the toughest gun laws in America. And really, to be most effective, any changes need to be addressed at the federal level. So I hope there's a good discussion about it.
Yeah, well, Senator Rubio, showed up at this town hall the other night, and he took some serious heat from his stance previously, though he wouldn't say he wouldn't take any more NRA money. He did say he was willing to consider limits on ammunition and other things that he previously was against. Are you open to all sides of this discussion?
Well, I think we've got to have a good, fulsome discussion. I think we've got to keep in mind, we've got to be respectful of the U.S. Constitution and what it says, but we've also got to take prudent action to keep guns away from criminals and the mentally ill.
Are you open to discussion about automatic weapons being banned in Illinois?
Well, so there are many ideas on the table. There's a proposal that went into the General Assembly to ban bump stocks, as an example.
Yeah, which, by the way, should be a no-brainer. I don't even know why this is even a discussion. It's ridiculous, my opinion.
I'm very open to that. It didn't even pass, but I think it was mostly because they tried to add a whole lot of other stuff onto the bill. It wasn't really focused, but we'll sort this out. We look forward to a good, fulsome discussion about it.
Governor Rauner, what's your website for the campaign?
BruceRauner.com.
All right.
BruceRauner.com.
All right. I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Governor.
Got to be a better answer than that. That's not enough. Not enough.
With regard to guns, you mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, a full discussion. Sure, we have to have a full discussion.
Oh, for sure.
But there's got to be a better answer than that.
Very forthcoming with union questions and others of that nature, too.
Yeah, and I've never believed that Rauner wants to destroy unions.
No.
I believe he wants to have the ability to control the spending in the state of Illinois so the state isn't broken by the union deals that are in place going forward, not affecting current union members and people that would retire today, tomorrow, whatever day, but upon the enaction of a new bill, a new law, mm-hmm. that people going forward wouldn't have the same union deal that they've had in the past, that's just sweet for union leaders and sweet for some, but has literally broken the financial back of the state. It just can't go on any farther. But as far as schools go, the governor needs a better answer than he just gave us. So we will see where that comes from.
I remember when I saw her face
the first time.
She put Jimmy DeCastro in his place.
Oh, God.
They asked her if she could just produce.
She said,
"Why do you think I'm here?
Hello."
She took over the Cochran Morning Show.
Thank God.
She worked with everyone to make it go
her way.
Her only focus now to make it grow.
Hold on. What's that? A brand new washer and dryer?
Ooh, 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 ooh.
She comes off very sweet and nice and
ooh, 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 ooh.
The truth is terrified, we're terrified. She is Mary, Mary, Mary. She is Mary Sandberg. She is Mary, Mary, Mary. She is Mary.
Now, you may be wondering, why would we play Sandberg's song at this point? John, do you know why we're playing the song, your song, for Sandberg?
Well, yeah, because we're announcing today this long-awaited personalized song that has passed two holidays.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I wanted John to do a customized listener song as a Christmas present for somebody.
Yes, which was nice.
So John got together with Sandberg and said, I don't feel like doing this. And Sandberg said, I don't feel like producing this. And then the two of them blew it off because they thought I'd forget. And it turns out I did.
Right. Well, that's not even close to what happened. But whatever,
and
go.
Then,
how well do they know you?
And then I thought, okay, well, then we're going to make him do one for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, which is a nice idea.
Yeah,
song
and
of
then
love.
Sandberg got together with John and said, you know, he's going to forget again. Let's just blow it off. So then. And it missed two holidays. So then I said, because John's going to have knee surgery soon. He's having an extra knee put in.
Extra, I know.
And I said, well, since John's going to be out, and since I'm very disappointed in both of them, you can tell.
fake outrage.
That I think we should do a customized song for St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
And then I thought, no, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
When's Flag Day?
Plus, I thought there's a chance I'd forget. Plus, I knew that they would blow it off. So, here's the deal. And we're locking this one in.
Locking it. And it's actually a great idea.
Locking it in.
Right now.
Yes.
In stone.
A customized song for your mom.
Yeah.
Oh,
for 2020.
For Mother's Day.
For 2020.
No.
Not 2 years
that's
in
a
now.
Nice idea.
Isn't that a good idea?
Yeah.
It is a good idea.
So, in honor of Sandberg and John DeCoste, musical director of the show, very, very talented John DeCoste,
right.
In honor of the two of them blowing off this contest three different times just because they knew I'd forget, we're doing this for Mother's Day. We're locking it in.
And the nice thing about this contest is we've actually given the listeners enough time to submit and then get.
Oh, is that the nice thing about it?
Yeah, because for the Christmas and the Valentine's, you brought it up a week beforehand.
No, that's not true. That's not true. Christmas I brought up at the beginning of December.
Well, then that's John's fault.
That was my fault.
Oh, look at the...
It was. She's absolutely right. It was totally my fault.
Now, here's the rest of this. The other reason we played Sandberg's song. She's going to Mexico.
Yes.
Parts of Mexico.
On vacation,
not permanently. Parts of Mexico are safe.
Yeah.
But there's a fair chance she's going to be kidnapped by a cartel.
No.
And if she doesn't make it back, we wanted to make sure we played her song.
Yeah, I needed a send-off.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Not to make light of this in any way. Can you see the cartel? Sandberg's going, okay, look, this is filthy. This bunker is nasty.
A cartel would give you back.
Yeah. You know, this bunker is
no
filthy.
No reason to worry about you. A cartel would go,
Apparently, we've been doing this all wrong.
Right. These ropes aren't clean.
Yeah, where's the bounty?
We will get our ransom the way we choose.
That's right. Not the way you tell us.
Why do we have to use your bag?
Mary, have a safe trip. We hope you come back.
Thank you. I'm not bossy. My ideas are just best.
And direct.
That's what your cup says.
And I know. Direct. That's what Mary gave me. And it's very true. So
that's true. All right. Here's the deal.
When you all agree, when you listen to me, things go better.
I do.
Yeah,
I agree completely.
I agree with that.
Don't you guys? 100%.
Yes.
I will agree with that. If you coming back, when you come back from Mexico, if I bring something up, you actually do it instead of counting on me to forget because I'm old.
Ooh. Well, the nice thing is our vacations don't line up.
It's a tall order.
We're not going to see each other for 2 weeks, but after that.
Right, then we can talk?
Then we can talk.
All right, it's a negotiation. One, I feel I may lose.
It's a good point.
Unless we forget about it.
I like the Sandberg response. The we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, you know what that means.
Yeah, it's not happening.
No way.
Remember when I used to be in charge?
No, I don't remember that time. Do you, John?
No, that was a long time ago. I don't.
At 8:16.
That's weird.
At 8:16, I kind of know an Olympian. Very special today.
This is fun.
I'm going to give you a hint. It involves Coach Q.
Yes.
Who will join us at 8:40.
And we're so excited.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
Yeah.
Very strong. And John, if we have time, we'd like to play the match game.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
If we have time.
I will ask Mary if we have time.
Okay.
You can just count on the fact that I won't remember I brought it up.
Yes.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand.
I rewrote this one.
Walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
I saw a bald guy walking down the street with a bucket of chicken.
A place called Lee Ho Fooks. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow.
Come on, sing it with me. Ow, Dean's got the chicken. Ow, share the chicken with the people with the accents.
London.
Live to London, where Chicken Fingered Dean is standing by. Good morning, Dean.
Where who Dean is standing by?
Chicken Fingered.
Oh, yes. The chicken delivery yesterday, KFC people were delighted to see me. And I think I've done my part to improve relations between the U.S. and Great Britain.
For those of you who were not listening yesterday, I'll need a note from your moms. But also, Dean cold-packed a box of chicken to bring over to the UK and then tried to hand it out to locals. Some turned them down. Some gladly accepted it because the UK literally has run out of chicken for KFC.
For KFC, and people were happy. I'm shocked to see the number of people who are willing to take a piece of chicken from a complete stranger on the street.
Yeah, it doesn't seem advisable.
Yesterday.
And by the way, it's the greater London area in England. It's not all of the UK.
No, it's just KFC. They've switched distributors. So,
And if you're listening in Canada this morning, part of the UK, you probably can get yourself some chicken.
Oh, yeah. I could go for a thigh right now.
All right, what are you doing in London today?
Well, today I'm actually at a dance rehearsal hall, and I'm getting a first look at a show that's going to be coming to Chicago that's called Just Dance Live. It's going to be at Navy Pier March 15th through 18th. Many of you, I know lots and lots of you, are familiar with the video game called Just Dance because it's the most popular video dance game in the world. And it's a concept where you stand in front of your video screen and dance along. It's kind of a competition with the dancers that you see on the screen, and you hold an interactive device in your hands and dance along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've taken this concept and they're bringing it to life on stage. And I got a first look at some rehearsal here today. I've been talking with some of the dancers and the creator of the show. And Steve, I want you to also meet, I have right with me, the producer of the show, whose name is Ind Dawi. And I just want her to explain some of this to you.
Okay.
I know you're going to find her very charming.
Okay.
So, Ind, thank you for joining us. This is my friend Steve on the radio at WGN in Chicago. So just tell him a little bit about what this show is about.
Hi, Steve. Very nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you.
So to explain to you what Just Dance Live is about, imagine that you're playing in front of your screen, and for once, you're going to break the screen and enter the world of Just Dance for a few hours and escape into this world. So you will be part of the experience. You will become your own avatar for one moment. And the whole concept of Just Dance Live is that we're bringing this 2D environment into a vivid 3D environment where we will celebrate the music, the costumes, the visuals, and the characters of Just Dance for a great party atmosphere and an amazing show where you can become the star of the show.
I would become part of the game live on stage.
You will become part of the universe.
The universe? Well, that's bigger than the game.
The universe of Just Dance. So you will enter the Aaron Grant ballroom. You will walk on the red carpet because for one moment you're the star of the experience. And then you will go through the Get Ready For It zone, which is the transformation zone, where you can mingle with other Just Dancers, where you can complete your outfits, and you can have some great moments before the show starts. And then you will enter the main floor, which is the ballroom at the Navy Pier, and for 90 minutes, you will be surrounded by four stages, 16 dancers, a master of ceremony, all performing a tremendous show with great choreographies, costumes, visuals, and you will be able to dance along the whole show.
It's a sensory extravaganza.
Right, and you dance the whole show anyway, so this fits right in.
Well, before we let you go, let me ask you this. You're standing there with Dean Richards. If Dean were a part of the cast, what wardrobe would he wear? Would he have a special avatar for him? What would he be?
I'm pretty sure he would be good in the panda suit.
Oh, in a panda suit. Oh. Yes. Yes, I totally agree.
One of the most iconic characters of this band.
Well, I know how busy you are. Thank you for that. We look forward to seeing you at Navy Pier.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right. Now enjoy your weekend.
I thought that you would enjoy speaking with Ind.
I don't know if you could tell from her accent, but she's from Alabama.
I did not know that. I did not pick that up readily.
From the Deep South. She's from the Deep South. So
we agreed, by the way, you couldn't hear, but we agreed that your avatar is Tom Skilling.
Right.
Yes.
I believe I heard her say, I would be the panda.
Yes, you would be the panda. The panda.
Right.
Dean is the panda!
Which works out well, because I think Dean has a panda outfit at some
Listen,
part
what
of
Dean
house.
Does on the weekends is none of our
it's
business.
One of my many costumes I like to dress up in on the weekends.
By the way, I believe that until I talked to End, I thought this was Dean's biggest travel scam so far, and I have nothing but respect for him. Now I think it's a legitimate trip.
It's a legit. Yeah, no, this is a legit story. This is.
I know it is now, but before I thought it was a whole thing. Andre,
you always assume that I'm on some sort of scam.
Well, sure. Yeah, absolutely. You're on the edge of show business.
I understand. I wanted to mention before we get too far off of this that again, the show is March 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th at the Aon Grand Ballroom at Navy Pier, and tickets are available for this now. Through Ticketmaster. So if you're a dancer, if you've got kids or grandkids who are dancers, who, you know, they're the first ones up when any kind of music comes on, they will really enjoy the show because they will be just right in it. And it sounds like a full immersive, experience. They even told me that with my 1970s robot dance moves that I'm so famous for, ask anyone who's been at a wedding with me when mm-hmm. when I start kicking my 1970s robot dance moves, that even I would be able to participate in this show.
Yeah, you know, I'm part of a show which we're in conversations right now with my production company to see if End would also produce and direct it. It's called Just Sit. Where you just
what?
Just sit. Where you just sit. Oh. You just sit in a recliner.
And I'm just going to tell that to End that Steve has just been signed to a show and he would like you to produce it. That's called Just Sit.
I don't think she. I got to say.
She thinks you're being funny.
She's already working. It would be called Just Sit Live.
Yes. Oh. I don't think she's taking
already,
it seriously.
Already putting the flourish on it.
All right. Now we have breaking show business news, Dean, here before we let you go. Andrea.
Yes.
Dean, I know you know Oscar's obviously coming up. All the swag bags are going to be all the talk of Hollywood. This is not a spa gift card, but there is a Chicago connection. The top Oscar nominees will get pepper spray designed in Chicago in their swag bags.
Nice. That's nice.
Yes.
And in a pink canister for the ladies?
It's a pink canister and a purple canister, depending on what you get. It's a pepper spray designed to spray out of the bottom. So it's not one of those mace containers that you squeeze from the top. They squeeze from the bottom, and it goes along with the hashtag MeToo movement, showing that women are not going to put up with unwanted sexual advances anymore.
Very nice. Very nice. You know, as long as we're talking about gifts, I did bring you, I brought you all gifts back from my trip here in London. It's all stuff that I stole out of the hotel room.
Oh, fantastic.
Cool.
Steve, I know you love hair conditioner. Andrea, I've got the moisturizer for you.
Aww.
I've got a plastic laundry bag for one of you. And don't get greedy. I've got something for everyone.
What about DeCoste? What'd you get for John DeCoste?
Did I get the fish and chips again?
No, I got the that awful complimentary coffee that they have in the room.
But it's the best.
Some nice pouches of that.
See if you can get a sewing kit or a shower cap, too, Dean.
Well, say you mentioned shower cap. Dean mentioned conditioner. Yeah. Dean, I'm very proud of Abigail Grace every single day. But yesterday when I saw Abigail Grace, she did her first hair joke.
Yeah,
I was talking to her about her long hair, and she rubbed the top of my head. Remember, she's two.
Uh-huh.
She rubbed the top of my head, and she said, Pops doesn't have hair.
Yeah.
Right?
Woo.
She's bringing it.
Cut right from the comedy, Cochrane comedy cloth. Right.
Yep, that's it. All right, get back safe, my friend. Or safely, if you choose.
Just Dance Live and Grand Ballroom, March 15th through 18th.
Right, and Just Sit. Coming soon.
Yes.
Just Sit Live.
Sit Live. All right, we'll come back. We'll get your headlines next. Coach Q and a special guest on I Think I Know an Olympian, sort of, kind of, coming up on 720 WGN.
Megan Augusta, she scored earlier. Must beat Rudy to keep Canada's hopes alive. She is stopped! United States wins gold in Pyeongchang!
Hey, I know an Olympian.
Do you?
I know him.
Do you really?
Come on, you don't know any Olympians.
Well, I mean, I kind of know an Olympian.
Sure you do.
Okay, well, maybe not.
I know an Olympian!
Yes, you getting an idea where we're going here, but not just me. Coach Q joins us now. Coach Q, you kind of know an Olympian, don't you?
Absolutely.
Would you like us to introduce that Olympian right now?
I love it.
Let's go to that Olympian right now. Gold medal winning live from South Korea, Kendall Coyne. How about a sitting ovation? The coveted sitting ovation. Kendall!
Good evening from Korea.
So good to hear your voice, Warren. I believe it's, is it, what is it, 11:40 or 12:40 in the morning?
Yeah, 11:40 at night.
So, Coach Q, what do you think of our women's team?
I think they had an outstanding tournament. Congratulations, Kendall. Hey, we're happy and proud of you. And, yeah. Have you guys had any sleep yet? Or is the party still going on?
It's still going, but thanks so much for joining and the congratulations. I was so surprised.
Pretty cool, right? Coach Q's all over this, too, and he is a big, big fan, as we all are. We couldn't be more thrilled for you. Who's the first person you called back in the States after you won?
Actually, to be honest, it's you guys.
That's because everybody is over there with you. Coach, did you get a chance to did you see the ladies playing at all? Did you get a chance to see their game? They look very powerful to me.
It was an amazing game. It was just like the game we were just watching, the Canadian-German game ended. Canada almost came back from 4-1 down in the third there, but the Americans came back and tied it up, and in overtime anything could have happened, and the shootout was an amazing shootout. A couple of moves that I'll never forget. The Canadian girl in the fourth round, and then coming right back and tying it up, and the winner was a thriller, and one of those goals that's going to go down in women's history and hockey history. It was a great play, and congratulations! Wow, what a game!
Thank you so much,
Kendall. How old were you when you started playing?
I first jumped on the ice when I was 3. Hockey shortly after, about 4.
And who was most supportive in your family? Were they your parents, or who got you going?
I started playing because of my older brother, Kevin. They put him in hockey, and they actually put me in figure skates because 20 years ago, that's what most girls did. Sure. And after a week in the figure skates, I told my parents I want to be like him, and I want to play hockey. And sure enough, they put me in hockey skates and haven't looked back since.
What impact, Kendall, and congratulations, what impact do you think that you guys winning the gold medal will have on some young girl who's getting out on the ice for the first time, maybe has thought about playing hockey?
Yeah, first off, thank you so much. But that was a big part of our push for this gold medal, was to impact the future generation. A lot of us are here today because of the 1998 team that brought home the gold from Nagano. I know when I first saw Cami Granato and her gold medal, I turned to my parents. I said, I want to go to the Olympics and I want to win a gold medal. And so just knowing that moment that I had, when I was 7, now knowing that I could possibly have that impact on others is pretty special. And we're a pretty special group of 23. We've been through a lot, and I think it's just going to be overwhelming for the growth of women's and girls hockey in the United States and hopefully around the world.
Well, Coach Q, as you know, Kendall does some fine work with the Blackhawks, a community liaison position for the Blackhawks, but also works with youth hockey already. So we're going to let her go to bed here. But, Coach, any last thoughts for the gold medal winner?
Oh, hey, we're proud of you. Happy for you. Congratulations. It was a great tournament. It was a great victory for you guys. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy your group of girls there and your team. The coaches were excited as heck on the bench as well. So should be very proud. And thank you for what you do with the Blackhawks here, with the youth in the area here as well, Kendall. And wish you all the best.
Thank you, Coach Q. I really appreciate it.
And Kendall, come see us.
All right. I hope to. I hope I can. We get back in March, so I have a big, giant, shiny medal to show off.
Can we hold it?
No, we don't touch the medal. We didn't win it. We just admire it from afar. Kendall, thank you very much.
You can touch it.
All right. Well,
we got the Southside connection. I went to Andrew High School, Kendall, so don't hold that against me.
That's the rival school.
That's our rival.
Oh, no, D230 Pride.
The 230 Pride, my friend.
Oh, look at that.
District 230 Legacy
look
Hall next year.
Look at you two. Kendall, safe travels. Thank you again, and congrats on being a gold medal winner.
No problem. Thank you for having
me. Oops, I just clipped
her. She's awesome.
What a good kid, huh, Coach?
She's excited as heck. That's a, well, she is a great kid, and, you know, Kevin was talking, we were just talking about her there. She's got a lot of speed, and, you know, first-class girl, and, hey, she did a great job of leading her team there, and, well, what a tournament for them. That was, I mean, how close it is with those teams back and forth every year. It comes down as the drama in the last two Olympic gold medal games. Sure. Has been unbelievable.
Yeah, and Coach has mentioned this. The Germans just beat the Canadians, mm-hmm. gold medal favorites. Did you see that coming?
No, I don't think anybody did. But, you know, the Germans almost... You know, they had a 3-0 lead and got scared again against the Swedes. They came back and won it in overtime, and you know, they're up 4-1. And the Canadians were pressing at the end. There, it was a great finish as well. But Canada just about tied it up late.
Coach Q Show is always sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. All right, so with the roll continues, as I said to you last time, Coach, the fat lady's not singing. She's not even in line for nachos. So we're gonna play hard till the end here, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what, you know, that's why we compete, and we're pros, and finding ways to win is what we'll continue to find ways every single night, do a little things different if we have to. But, you know, we need that level of compete in the battle area right to the end is what we're hoping and getting, you know, from every night from all our guys.
What kind of a difference did you see from one game to the next against Ottawa in terms of the way you started the game? Because I know you weren't happy at all with the way you'd started the previous game against the Kings.
Well, we you know, we had a real good game the game before against Washington, mm-hmm. sustaining it, finally did it the whole game, and then you know, we weren't really competing at the level we needed against an LA team that's their go-to is they play hard and they come at you and they're ready to start, and we weren't. I think that should always be, you know, I think traditionally, and even this year, we've been pretty good in first period, so it was tough beginning and a good response to it the next night. I thought we had a good 40 minutes in the last overtime, and the last 20 were okay, but you know, it was a fun shootout, and we'll take a win. We haven't had a shootout in I don't know how many games.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that first period thing, because you know how much Blackhawks hockey I watch, and I don't think there's been a better season first period wise with consistency in that first 20. And you know, you get excited and you go, here we go, and then it falls off. That's one thing that is just kind of hard to figure.
Well, consistency, whether it's in the first periods or you know, late in a period, or you know, there's just no predictability on you know, us managing the puck the way we can or we should, or and playing the clock and the score is important as well.
Sure, without a doubt. Any news on Corey Crawford?
No change.
Okay. Forsberg seems like he's you know, feeling it a little bit.
Yeah, he's done a good job here, and I think that you know, I think the last game was a really good indication of what he can do when the game's on the line. He made some big saves late in the game, made several big saves in the overtime, and then obviously getting the win in an extended shootout was huge for him as well. So it was was winning in a different fashion for him, and I like the way he battled in that type of setting.
We go to see Berube in one of these next couple of games.
Yeah, he's going to play one of these games here tonight. Probably
tonight. Okay. we got it. There we go.
He's not under oath.
That's true. I guess not.
He didn't raise his right hand. Hey, before we let you go, every 4 years we get fascinated with curling. Have you ever curled?
One time.
And were you?
Maybe two, but I think one.
Did you? Good. Did you have the rock, or were you a sweeper, or did you do both?
Yeah, we did everything. Yeah, you tried it all. Yeah, yeah, it was fun. It's a fun game.
Yeah, it is.
It's a fun game.
Were you any good at it?
No, I don't think so. No.
It's hard to stay balanced once you release the stone.
Did you throw the stone overhand?
Balance, whether it's, I think the better the more you do it, the better it is, because it's kind of like bowling. It might start, you throw nothing but gutter balls, and then eventually you get the swing of it, and you know when to release it.
It takes time.
But I don't know all those spins or all that other stuff that these guys know how to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of reps. All right, trade deadline Monday. Are you expecting anything?
Probably quiet. If there's something, we'll see. I know that Stan's working and talking to managers and teams, and so we'll get a little bit more clarity here in the next couple of days or so before Monday.
Do you know if you've gotten any calls about moving me?
There's a big market for that.
It sounds like he's part of that,
yeah,
too.
It sounds like he's trying to make a deal. Thanks, man. I appreciate the time with Kendall, too, and the help of the Hawks on tracking deal. Kendall down. Right. That's an impressive thing. All right. Enjoy the day.
Yeah. All right. My pleasure. Thanks.
I got all choked up there, didn't I?
It was great.
Hawks tonight.
7 o'clock, Hawks and the Sharks, who lost to Nashville last night 7-1, by the way.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This is Steve Cochran Show, number 1094 on Twitter at Cochran Show, Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show. We talked earlier in the program with LPGA pro Chris Tamulis, who tried to make a 94-foot putt last night at the Northwestern game.
Yeah, well, the length
Full
of
court.
The court.
Yep.
Came pretty close, too.
There is other big money sports news in halftime and other entertainment. A guy won $25,000. For making a layup, a free throw, a three-pointer, and a half-court shot in 25 seconds.
Whoa. That's
and you're thinking, $25,000, that's a pretty good deal. But you should have been in Minnesota at the Minnesota Golf Show, Chicago Golf Show this weekend.
Yes.
You're going to be there Sunday?
I'll be there Sunday
with
for
Channel
weekend
9?
Break. Yes,
okay.
All morning long.
A visitor of the Minnesota Golf Show made a 120-foot putt for $100,000.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Huh? It's not bad.
Now, that's you've bad made long putts. You've sunk in basketballs at half court.
I've thrown up an air ball at half court. I know exactly how long this putt is. Not 120. I mean, 117-foot putt.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you get $100,000?
Which, by the way, all skill.
Yeah.
No luck involved at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the good news. I do have one bad news item here that I have to bring up, but it's just as a matter of we all should learn, and I feel the show is a chance to educate.
Yeah.
41-year-old woman from Georgia got divorced recently, and she lost her house.
Oh.
Wednesday night, she got drunk and went back and burned it to the ground.
Oh.
Now, what can we learn from this?
many things.
John, what can we learn from this?
Well, you should never, ever drink and burn.
Yes.
Good
well,
advice.
That's fair. That's fair. And it's an old piece of advice. Comes
I saw
from
that on a billboard,
ago.
To be yeah. honest mm-hmm. with you.
Unless there are fireworks involved. Can't you drink and do fireworks? That's what I heard.
People do. It's not advisable.
Okay.
How
now,
about unless
I will say this. There were two cats in the house. She got the cats.
Out.
She was drunk, and she went to Walmart and called 911.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
All right, so
that's
she's
bad.
Calling 911.
Oh, okay.
At the Walmart.
So she didn't even have a phone.
Right. Oh, and don't do it, even if to collect on the insurance. I'd say no.
Yeah.
No to that as well.
I agree with Andrea.
Thank you, John.
Andrea and I are a team.
Yes.
But go to Walmart, John?
Yes.
But she will go to jail for this. The cats at this point are trying to find an attorney. A tiny, furry attorney.
So they
don't
want to
be accessories.
The cats survive.
Oh.
The cats survive. Okay. Thanks again to Hooters, the original wing joint for the Coach Q Show. Big 9 o'clock hour coming up, and we're planning on doing the match game right before we send it over to Bill and Wendy. John right now is carefully writing questions or ignoring the show entirely. One of those two.
I'm sorry, what?
CLTV joins us next as well on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I had this guy leave me a voicemail at work, so I called him at home. And then he emailed me to my BlackBerry, and so I texted to his cell, and then he emailed me to my home account, and the whole thing just got out of control. And I miss the days where you had one phone number and one answering machine, and that one answering machine housed one cassette tape, and that one cassette tape either had a message from the guy or it didn't. And now you just have to go around checking all these different portals just to get rejected by seven different technologies. Exhausting.
I just haven't met you yet.
Jen Weigel is Jen Weigel's passing her on her phone and showing the various men on Match.com.
Oh,
who are in the exercise yard right now taking their photos before they actually upload them.
Stephen, all fairness, one was laying in a hammock scratching his tummy.
Oh, there was another one where a gentleman was popping a zit on his nose. So I'm just telling you, if gentlemen...
Was that one called Hello Ladies?
And they wonder why we're not excited to get together for coffee.
I have the perfect guy for you. Do you know Michael Dell, the billionaire that started Dell Computers?
No, but this gentleman looked like he buried someone in a shallow grave.
Yes,
check
he
that
does.
One out.
Michael Dell just bought a $100 million condo in New York City. It's the most expensive home ever sold in New York City, and he's available.
Oh, there you go.
Does he have a record, an arrest record?
No.
Does he read books? That's the other requirement.
If you have enough to buy a $100 million house, you don't have to read. People read, too. Right?
While rubbing your feet. Yes.
Nice to see both of you. Jen Weigel's here. Bella Gandhi's here. Bella, what's the name of the company again?
Smart Dating Academy.
Because most of us are dopes.
Apparently, the evidence is right here on my phone. Just the profile picture.
What
of
is
the
percentage, Bella? Is it 2/3 to 1/3 men to women on these sites?
No, it's actually closer to 50-50.
Come on.
It's the only place where the odds are almost 50-50. Because
why do I have the impression there's so many more men than women on
this? No, it's amazing. This is why I tell women all the time, like, get online. It's where your odds are best. Because typically, if you go to singles events, meetup groups, women tend to be more proactive and tend to be okay with going out alone more than guys are. So the ratios are always like, women will walk in, they're like, wow, it was a really interesting event. There were 100 women and 3 guys.
Right.
That's what happens because those dudes are at home playing video games or on Tinder.
or taking bad profile
bad
pictures.
Selfies.
Or
yeah,
hammock.
Bad selfies.
After they buried people in shallow graves.
Well, listen, let's be honest. All the profile pictures are less than realistic. And one of the things I think I'm right about this is Smart Dating Academy. You ask people to give a realistic picture. Look your best. But a realistic photo, right?
See, that's the key thing. Look your best. Not just you in the car at the drive-through or shirtless at your desk. Nobody needs to be shirtless ever, 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 gentlemen. Unless you're climbing a rock.
Whoa, you're going
not
fast.
Even.
Hold on, you're going
on.
Fast. Let me write this down.
Agreed.
Don't
put
be
your
shirtless
on.
At work.
No, ever in a selfie or in a profile picture. Because unless you're climbing a mountain... Or, you know,
why would
beach?
You climb a mountain shirtless?
Rock climbing? Right. I don't know.
And especially not in your mirror, in your bathroom mirror.
Oh, my gosh.
Please, that's
right?
Creepy.
See, Andrea and I have the same pain. We look at these things and go, and they want to go to dinner? Seriously?
See, and this is what we do at Smart Dating Academy. We take all of the guesswork out of it, and we do the photos for you. So everybody has their shirts on. There's no selfies. There's no rock climbing in these photos. It's all good. So you do. You have to look your best in your photos. And you've got to have 4 to 5 great photos of yourself as you look today, not your high school composite photo from 25 years ago.
Right.
Today, people want to date the person.
And if you're
picture.
In show business, don't be showing your headshot from 1987.
Exactly.
No. Exactly.
I just got rid of it.
You did. You just deleted that one.
But you know what?
Hair.
I love your feathered hair. It was
Thank
really
you
nice.
Very much. Well, it was popular. So I would assume a good picture of a man on one of these sites would be walking into his own job with his planner open digitally or old school. School that says, call mom to make sure she's feeling great today.
Yeah. Or a picture of his
and
portfolio.
And then get on with my own self-interest and check my 9-figure bank account. That would all be good.
Exactly. For sure. And these are my assistants that read to me now that I have $100 million
yes.
place.
Right. Yes, holding his portfolio. Yes.
Right. What are you two doing together?
So we're going to be at the Wilmette Theater next week on Tuesday night.
The Weigel Theater, is that called?
The Weigel Wilmette Theater, yes. my home yes. from home.
Yes.
Unplug and Connect. It's this new series we're starting where we want people to actually communicate in community. So instead of just being digitally connected, we want people to come together as a community. And
Hold
Bella,
on. You want people to talk?
I know, right? Meet and greet
kind of
in person.
What crazy nonsense is that?
Cuckoo for Cocoa Socially? Puffs. So we are going to, Bella is going to be the expert teaching people, men and women. Please don't think this is just a, you know, divorcee event. This is for all people looking for love.
Regardless of your level of bitterness.
Exactly.
Right.
Or your level of inability to take a selfie. You know, that's why Bella is going to show. We're going to have an example.
So it's going to be like a mini sort of boot camp kind of thing?
A boot camp, a mixer, the whole deal.
With no burpees, no bungees.
Yeah, without having to do all that. Yeah.
And no sweating.
No trust falls.
And all age limits, too, because we were just talking about the story on Match Bell that said women are having fantastic sex into their
60s. Yeah, there was a story that said all the weird studies come from Great Britain. Now, listen, I hope it's true.
Right.
But women sexually peaking in their mid-60s.
Wowza.
It did say women.
It did. It was a Match.com right? study.
See, and you know what? We don't have Cialis or Viagra, so that's pretty cool.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, anybody welcome.
Because I've heard of both of those.
Oh, wait, let me just rephrase that. Not anybody welcome. Anybody who is single. And by single, I mean, like, you've either, you know.
Hold on. You mean not married?
Not married.
Hold on. You mean not in a relationship?
Right.
Okay.
This is not a, you know, Ashley Madison situation.
Write these down. Hey, whatever happened to Ashley Madison? Is she okay? She went through a rough spell.
Ashley's okay. Madison's having a tough time with the whole breakup right now. But yeah, no. Come one, come all. Whether you're 22 to 82 years old, you know, it's never too early or it's never too late to think about finding that great lasting love. So.
You know, those ages that Bella just chimed in, 22 or 82, are the only two that seem to ask me out. The people in their mid-40s are not interested in women in their mid-40s. They want 22-year-olds.
So they're looking for a mommy or a daughter? One of the two?
Oh.
Is it both bad?
And she wonders why I haven't gone there.
Yeah.
I'm so, you know, and that's the other thing, too. I think people think that they need to have a partner to complete them, right? And so unless somebody is comfortable in their skin and really okay being solo, I just don't want to, I don't want to go there.
Well, but Bella, let me ask you a question. The older you get, the more set in your ways you get. You got to let your guard down a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And you have to be able to negotiate and compromise and be flexible. And sometimes that's inversely correlated with age. But it's really, really important to pick a partner that's going to do that and do that with you.
And if the best sex in your life is happening at 65, you better be flexible.
Yeah, yoga.
Literally.
Yoga.
Right?
Yoga.
Yoga.
Yoga. Yoga.
Andre. Exactly.
What's Harry Connick Jr. like?
Oh, my
Little
gosh.
Little Miss Harry Connick on
Bella has been on GMA, Harry Connick Jr. You
he's
are
so
all
lovely.
Over the place.
He's really, I mean, it's he's a fun truly segment. Multifaceted, talented, obviously a great musician, great actor.
He's taken,
but what
he?
I love as a host is that he's very engaged with every guest that comes on, and he's really into it, and he's not just reading the prompter for the next question. He's like, but wait, I got a question about that.
So he actually listens.
He listens.
As opposed to the typical TV head, he listens.
He listens and engages you and is really really nice.
I've mentioned this before. Cute. I'm not, but if I was, would I? The list. And Clooney's on the list. I think I'd put Harry Connick on the list. Dave, you with me on that? Harry Connick? I'm not, but if I was, I would.
He's a dude.
Oh, well, I wouldn't use those words necessarily, but I like Harry Connick.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah.
It's Dave's list.
I'm guessing he smells terrific.
I bet he does. Yeah.
I'd like him to sing me to sleep.
Seems down to earth and cool.
Very lovely.
Down to earth.
He's really nice and kind and genuine.
I saw him at Poplar Creek years ago.
Mm.
And then you two had a romantic dinner
Poplar
afterwards?
Creek. Poplar Creek.
That's when he made the list.
Exactly. See, that was...
Exactly. You want to date
I
yourself?
I buried the lead there.
There you go.
You want to date yourself there.
Oh, that's funny.
Chipotle. And
all right, plug it again, and we'll come back and talk a little more, but make sure people know how to get tickets.
We can give away tickets, too, today, if you want to. For some
I prefer people pay for them,
okay,
but if you want to give
that.
Some away.
Wilmette Theater, Tuesday night, next week, 7 p.m., Unplug and Connect with Bella Gandhi, Jen Weigel. She's the Smart Dating Academy expert, and we're going to talk smart dating. So,
and we'll do more of that when we come back.
Absolutely.
But 312-981-7200. What, two pair?
Yeah, two pair.
All right, caller 720 and 721. Or whatever you want to do, Joe. Back in a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I play this every morning when I walk in. And then I trip and break my hip. Bella Gandhi's here. Jen Weigel's here. Got a show coming up on Tuesday night. Again, where?
Wilmette Theater, 1122 Central Avenue. You can go to jenweigel.com/gigs and find out more.
Chance to be examined by Bella.
Correct.
Well,
Well, inspired, I would say.
Yeah.
Just guided and also informed, because I didn't realize there's, like, you know, there's farmers.com. What are the latest app/sites that are out there for people who really are specific niche daters, right?
Commies.com.
Right? Meet mindful, spiritual people.
I mean,
Kleptomaniacs.com.
Right?
No, whatever you're into.
There's something for everybody. There's tallpeople.com.
Seriously.
You know, love my stash if you're a mustache lover or a mustache sporter. Like, I mean, wow. The amount of
What's the fine line between a fetish site and a site for somebody that's got a particular interest?
There is no line.
Yeah.
It's a blurry, blurry line.
Question. So Tinder, I feel like, is the hookup site. But
you're
saying
it's not anymore.
And now I hear there's a change in the wind. So is that true?
Yes. Well, it's not. It's just the way people are talking about it. I mean, Tinder was considered the hookup site for many years. But now if you actually look at the data, they say we've been responsible for 1 billion matches, meaning dates. But I know I've been to Tinder weddings. Mm. So it can work.
There you go.
It can
work. So it's not just about hooking up.
Right. No, look, it's like walking
into a bar. I'm just interested in having sex tonight.com. That's a little more direct.
That's a new app, by the way.
Yes. Look at Tinder the same way you'd look at walking into a bar. There's people that are like, I just want to have sex right here, now. Then there's normal people like us. I use that word
right,
normal.
I was going to say.
It's a very broad
normal.
It's
nice of you to look at me when you said that.
She's sitting right next to Dave. So.
Yes.
He's upping the game.
There's an exception to every rule. All right, so have the rule. You and I have known each other for a long time. You've known Andre all the way back to the University of Illinois. Have the rules changed at all over the years? Because, you know, people, if they're going to date just to date as opposed to get into a relationship, you still got to be honest about that up front, don't you?
Totally. I mean, and the beauty is with these sites and apps, you can be, because as opposed to just meeting someone in a bar and trying to suss stuff out, you can actually look at their photos, you can look at what they say, and you can kind of read and say, okay, this person sounds like they might be looking for the same thing I am, whether that's something more transient, maybe a 2-3 day thing, or the real thing in love, in a relationship.
I think the rules have changed too. I mean, because it used to be taboo. You know, the hookup was taboo unless you waited, 5-6 months, or maybe even longer. But we know people, Belle, who have, I guess, let me use the air quotes again, hooked up almost immediately and have been married 15 years.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
What about three dates? I thought there was a 3-date rule.
Well, wait a second. Now, when I met Bella years ago and we did a story at the Chicago Tribune, you told me that women should wait at least 11, 12 dates before giving it up. Has that changed now?
Now it's two.
Well, it was higher. Actually. I think you've massaged that number down. It was usually like 16 to 20 dates.
16 to 20?
But remember, we didn't get the memo.
Right?
We're stuck on the 3-date rule.
Swipe to the right.
You're supposed to know what we're thinking.
That was the man memo. Okay. That was the man memo that went around. 3 dates. 3 points.
Right.
So what's the MO now? I mean, is there a rule? There isn't.
Date for the rule, not the exception. Everybody knows that one couple that's hooked up one night.
Right out of the gate.
Right out of the gate. They're married. They live in Naperville. They've got 3 kids. That's great.
Right.
However.
Plainfield, 2 kids.
However, right. In today's dating world, just take it slow and steady. Mm-hmm. And date multiple people at the same time. And when I say date, I'm not talking about hooking up with and sleeping with, but actually getting to know people. Because the more people, dating is like a horse race. You got to have many horses to make it a race, right? Mm-hmm. And it keeps your mojo high and it keeps you more objective. Then you don't settle.
What do you think of the phrase, when you know, you know?
I don't like it.
Really?
No.
So it's interesting. You and I have a little differing opinion on this. You think that if it gives you that kind of woo, it's
everybody
actually
gets butterflies in the beginning, don't they?
Danger zone, though. You're thinking danger zone.
I think sometimes when you know can be true. But sometimes what you know and what feels right for you is bad for you.
So you end up repeating the same mistakes you've made?
You end up repeating the same mistakes again and again. Right. And human beings, we're creatures of habit, right? We tend to do what's comfortable versus what's right.
Right. And you actually say, you know, get out of your absolute list. You know, people were like, he's got to be 5'11", and he's got to have blue eyes, and da-da-da.
Well, that's the mythical list, the female list. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got to check off this on my list. That's not healthy, right?
That's not healthy at all. That's what leads to the, oh my God, I just know that this guy on Tinder is my husband because he's 5'11", he has blue eyes, he makes 6 figures, this is it. And we build these fantasies around 200 characters and 2 photos, and then we meet the person, it's like, oh my God.
You gotta listen to your inner voice, too, I would think, if you're a woman, and I haven't been one currently, but I'm considering. But the point being, you have to listen to that inner voice when that inner voice says, maybe this isn't right for me, and not hear the thing where you go, well, he'll be different for
me. Yeah, you have to trust your gut. And sometimes...
And don't be a fixer.
Mm-hmm. Don't be a fixer. Don't look for the broken winged person, right? You want, if you're, here's how I tell people.
You are the wind beneath my broken wings.
Right. Imagine yourself looking for a house as when you're looking for a partner. You want to walk into a house and go, wow, this feels absolutely perfect and it doesn't even need a coat of paint. That's the kind of person you're looking for.
But sometimes you got to add a bathroom. I mean, there are some things that need to be tweaked.
That's a big gut. Practically. Adding a bathroom is a big gut.
Right.
What about the website I plan on dating around while I expect you to be just faithful to me? Is that going anywhere? I'm hearing a lot about that site.
50% of people are on that site.
Well, I'm just blown away by all these niche sites like skateboardlovers.com and I mean all these things.
You're not kidding. They exist.
They exist.
Oh, they exist. They exist. And I'm sure that a new dating app for some new niche interest came up while we've been on the air. Show.
Right.
Right. So, and but I will stick to the big sites, guys. Stick to the big ones.
What you always say too, the whole theory of opposite attract, I think that's out the window. You got to have similar interests. You have to have common beliefs, common values, I think, anyway.
Well, you're going to spend most of your relationship staring at your phone anyway, so how important it works anymore?
Exactly.
Especially when you can look at all these other people on the I'm just looking to date around site.
Yeah, and if he lied about his photo, just look at his, instead of looking at his face, go ahead and look at a profile picture that hooked you in the first place.
Everybody's beautiful in the dark.
Words to live by.
Let's just throw it down.
All right, let's review now. You got to get on the sites. You got to take an attractive but realistic photo.
Many, like 4 to 5, head to toe as well. People want to see what you look like.
With
a little
clothes.
Crop shot, right. Your chin all the way up, and that's it. That's not going to work. And no. Everybody's going to go, okay, you're hiding something. So, no, great photos of you that look like the person that's going to show up to the date.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And?
And then, well, well-written profile. I mean, people just sort of like if you're.
Are there people that, I mean, I know you as coach, but are there people that have businesses that'll write your profiles for you?
I would think
that's a business.
We do that.
That's what Bella does.
But you don't write it for them. You school them on how to do it.
No,
right?
We write it for them. I have writers that write their profiles
for
them.
You write their profiles?
We write their profiles.
How is that helpful?
Because people say you are.
Oh, God.
If you're the one.
Oh, I see. But you talk to them, and through the interview, you capture who they are.
And we have them fill out a questionnaire with all these interesting experiences that they have had. Because what most people say, I mean, and I'll tell you, we even have authors and writers. But when you are asked to write about yourself in 300 words, it's pretty daunting for most people.
I'm really popular.
I was paralyzed.
People
I didn't know what to do.
Like me.
I remember. Remember, I had Britt write it for me.
Yes.
So I had when my son was 5, I was like, I'm stumped. I'm an author.
Listen, that's what therapy's for the.
So there you go. Yeah. I said, write mommy's profile, and he's like, I like when mommy makes me mac and cheese, and when she wears dresses and not pajamas, and so I put this out there, and you know, I thought it was kind of cute, but that didn't translate. No.
So you're saying if you are a single mom, hide the children until they graduate. Is that what you're saying?
No, just don't have them write your profile.
That's great.
I'm 5, and I'm writing my mom. His profile. Date over.
She's mean. Right.
He's 11 now. It would be a very different profile. I'm sure Star Wars would be involved.
Uh-oh. Here comes... Samberg,
what
do
we know?
I write a lot of my sister's online dating things.
You write hers?
Yeah. I do, yeah.
She just goes to bulldogdating.com.
I think maybe she got on Bumble recently, and her friend encouraged her to do something funny. So I said, if you don't like loud talkers, don't answer me because I'm told I'm a loud talker, which
yeah,
I thought was
funny. Something self-deprecating?
Right. Yeah, and she is loud, so it's truthful. Then she fought me on it for a while, which Bella will understand because she's dealt with my sister.
Why do you put it that way?
Don't drag Bella into this.
My sister likes to ask
me. Bella wants to lie.
I just told Katie. I just said, hey, Bella says that all the men are online, so your odds are better. I need more information on this. What more information is all the men are online?
One in three marriages take place because of online dating.
One in three.
It's a new bar.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, it's the new bar.
It's the new mothers.
I get so frustrated. My sister is so annoying, like many women.
By the way, you're listening to Sandberg's Family Therapy.
But you do want to date her.
You do want to date her, but she wants, we do online banking. We book travel online. We don't do anything not virtual. She gets no mail to her house, but this one little thing, meeting people, she thinks needs to happen in person.
And look at it this way. Dating Sandberg's sister, you could ask, what's wrong with Sandberg?
There you go. There you go.
$1 million question.
And she always goes out with packs of girls. And nothing seems like more of a turn off to me than a bunch of girls splitting a bill for wine.
Oh,
what guy's going to approach that group?
And Jen, you can speak to this because we're out of time. But you can speak to this and also plug the event because we're out of time.
Okay.
But a circle of women. And yep. one of you breaks off from the herd mm-hmm. and actually gets a date, don't be bitter about that.
Celebrate it. And that's the other thing. When you're out, be your radiant self. People want to go, I'll have what she's having. Not like, oh, look at that bitter group of women. Your table's ready. You know, just laugh, smile, have a good time, enjoy your life.
And break off from the group. That's a great point. Break off from the group. Because for a guy, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong here, rejection by 8 is unfathomable. No dude that's not totally drunk or wasted is going to walk up to a group of 8 women. But if you're on your own and you make some eye contact with him, you smile at him, chit-chat with him at the bar, he'll probably talk to you, but you got to give him a sign and be alone.
Right. And be willing to take a step away from the herd, the group, mm-hmm. and have a conversation.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. All right. Well, now that we figured out love.
We solved the world's problem.
We got this.
We'll come back after the event and let you know how it went.
What event?
The event on Tuesday.
Set up.
At the Wilmette Theater, 7 p.m. if you can make it. Bella Gandhi of the Smart Dating Academy, Jen Weigel. Go to jenweigel.com/gigs.
1122 Central Avenue in Wilmette.
Yes. So fun. Wilmette, guys, come on. Theater. Come all.
Guys and gals, welcome.
Bella, Jen, nice to see you. Break, and we're back with the headlines after this.
What do we have here? The building blocks of shishi. Shishi meat, peaches, and guacamole.
Wasabi.
What's up?
Wasabi.
I love guacamole. It's my favorite.
Wasabi.
Oh, it's really hot guacamole. Oh, holy guacamole. Yeah.
Peel the avocado. Peel the avocado. Guacamole.
Steps from here. Guacamole. You can get some of the best guacamole you're ever going to have. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about?
Can I say it?
Say it.
Burrito Beach.
Burrito Beach. And joining us live in studio, the boss. Is it Winograd or Winograd?
Winograd.
Jeff Winograd is vice president at Burrito Beach. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having us.
It's nice of you to come in on a Friday and feed us. What'd you bring?
We brought you a bunch of stuff. We brought you some breakfast burritos.
Breakfast burritos. Yeah. Okay.
We brought you some salads, guacamole, some quinoa.
Is this the biggest bowl of guacamole that
you've
ever
seen? That's so funny. I heard you say quinoa.
I did say quinoa. Mexican
Sandberg.
Quinoa.
No quinoa in the studio. We've had this discussion.
I have it here.
And it already took it.
I'll get rid of it immediately, sir.
What else?
What else do we have?
Else would you like to plug?
Oh, what else do we want to plug? We want to plug our restaurants. We have 6 restaurants in Chicagoland, 5 downtown, 1 at O'Hare. The newest one is in Northwestern Memorial Hospital, up on the 2nd floor there. It's a beautiful new look for us.
When are you going to go out in the burbs? I mean, out in the burbs, like
we're
all these cool downtown
for
areas?
In the burbs, mm-hmm. always.
Are
if
you spreading?
Got one, let me know.
You're at O'Hare now, right?
Yeah, we've been in O'Hare for quite a while.
You got a new look to the O'Hare.
So we're remodeling the O'Hare location.
What terminal?
American Airlines, Terminal 3.
Awesome. So book your flight that way.
That's right.
Yeah, book your flight on American.
We always fly American.
Yeah, that way you can go to Burrito Beach.
And one of my favorite things, there's ice cream now at some of the locations.
What?
So we make frozen custard from scratch at our Northwestern Memorial Hospital location, and it is outrageous. It's really, really creamy and thick and velvety, and it's kind of crazy.
Someone's going to be walking over there.
That's going to be an issue.
It's 6 blocks from here, right over there.
Yeah, it really is, right around the corner. Mm-hmm. Breakfast Mexican is seeming to become a hotter trend. Am I right?
It's a very large thing. You know, it's fast. It's got a lot of flavor. It's delicious, and it's not expensive. And so people make it part of their route to work, like coffee. Go get a breakfast burrito, go get my coffee, go to work.
Mm-hmm. What's the most popular breakfast burrito?
So it's called the Miguel's Breakfast Burrito, and I've got some here for you.
What's in it?
So what's in it is eggs, of course, cheddar, potatoes, bacon, and our special sauce that we make, ketchupotle, which is a spicy, smoky,
everything in the nutritional wheel.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Right there in every bite.
So we sell a ton of those.
You know, there is something, aside from the bacon and the cheddar, there is something healthy, though, about Burrito Beach and the food. You look at you with the quinoa.
Well, guacamole is good for you.
Guac is great for you. Yeah. There's a lot of healthy at Burrito Beach. We have a lot of vegetarians and vegans who come by because you get to choose how you get your food made. So you can make it with a lot of protein or very little protein. And we even have a special menu called the Beachbody Menu, where all the items are under 500 calories, including this quinoa salad that you're so fond of.
And I have veggie chili right here.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Okay, well, look who's giddy. Why don't you go to Sandburg, New Mexico, and you two can have a good time.
I mean, she's really giddy.
Yeah, she is, actually. Burrito Beach, fresh, delicious, Mexican-inspired food and gourmet burritos. How long in business now?
22 years.
Who started it?
Greg Schulson. The Schulson family owns and operates the business. We're a local family-owned business, and the Schulson family, they've been around, and a lot of people know Greg Schulson, University of Chicago graduate, business school graduate.
Nice. Well, good for you, man. Good work. And if you're hiring, I may have some people I'll send over there.
I'll get you now.
No, I'm cool for the time being. Okay. I'm just saying maybe throwing some people out. Thanks for coming over. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having us.
What's the website?
www.burritobeach.com.
That seems right.
Simple.
That does seem right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. 9:51. You want to play a quick match game?
Yes, let's do it.
Woo. Do it when we come back. All right, we're going to play a quick round of match game here with special celebrity guest Bill Leff. Bill and Wendy coming up. And this will be the last match game that Sandberg plays before going to Mexico and being held hostage by a cartel.
I have something for Mary. When are you leaving for Mexico?
I leave on Sunday.
I have, here.
Pesos? You're going to be in pesos?
Pesos, yeah.
Oh, hey. Thank you.
It's 50 pesos.
50 pesos?
Now, what is that worth?
A dollar. $3 million.
No. You got the wrong end of the conversion scale. John, you're the host. What question would you like to ask Jim in Bedford Park, who we'll meet right now? Let's go to Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
You know, great, Jim. You know how to play? Yes.
Yes, sir.
Great. Here we go. Don't give me your answer until I ask for it. Celebrity's ready. Here we go. Dave Ennett is so busy. Not only does he announce play-by-play for the Northwestern basketball and football, now he will be calling Northwestern hospitals blank.
Dave Ennett is so busy.
Not only does he announce play-by-play for both Northwestern basketball and football, now he will be calling Northwestern hospitals blank.
I can't think of the term.
Yeah.
It's a great line, too, and I can't think
of
the term.
This is good. Yeah, this is a good one, Dan.
Okay.
Okay.
I think by your body language, Steve, we all just know what you mean.
You don't have to write it down.
Yes. Okay.
Everybody set?
Yeah.
Everybody set?
Go
Jim?
To me last.
We're in.
Jim, give me your answer.
I think he's calling their flu statistics for the
flu stats.
See, that's a good one.
That's generic enough. We could actually pull this off. Dave?
Jim, I appreciate that. We're going to allow you to win if you're even remotely close to
this. How about
this.
That? Yeah. That's pretty good.
That'll work.
Of course, I could say that,
yeah.
Right, but I won't because I'll go with what I wrote down, and it's kind of close.
Yeah.
Operations.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
No.
That's a good one. Yeah, no, all right. Close. John DeCoss, I said the phlebotomy races.
What?
No, it's good. You know what I mean?
I do.
You know what I mean? You draw blood
no.
and one's
yes.
quicker
oh,
than the
it's
other.
Not flu.
Oh, she's right. That is yeah. cute.
Thank
you, Mary.
That is cute. Yes.
Yeah. I thought a phlebotomist was a stamp collector.
No,
no they
the
draw
blood.
Blood. So, like, blood. Some have more vials of blood, some have...
Philatelist.
What's the... Philatelist is a stamp
We're kind of in the middle of a game. Okay? Okay. Here we go.
Thank you, Mary.
Their rehab.
See? Yes. These are all good answers.
Yeah.
Yes. Bill?
Don't encourage him.
These are great.
Ooh. John, I put emergencies.
Emergencies.
Well, that's because he could add excitement to it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
It'd be more exciting. That
be that's
close,
good.
Right?
That one's very
that's
close. Good. Yes.
Stop begging
yes.
for points, Jim.
Sorry. Yes. Wendy, yes.
Colonoscopies.
Colonoscopies.
Ooh,
these
I
are
like
all
that.
Great. Ooh. These are right. Joe?
Wheelchair races.
Wheelchair races?
Oh.
Very good.
Oh. All right, Cochran. What
colonics.
Do you got?
Colonics?
Oh. Colonics.
This is good.
Those are
this is okay.
Serious. That's
this
the word you good. Couldn't think of?
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Good thing you're leaving.
Jim, your answer was phenomenal, and you're still going to win, so don't worry about
Maybe
it.
Maybe he gets 0 points?
He got zero points.
Ah, congratulations, Jim. No, hold on. Don't hang up.
I love
this
how we like our
Ken and Joliet. Ken, we don't have time to small talk and be nice to you in any way, shape, or form. What's Ken's question?
Here you go, Ken. Our producer, Joe Romano, has a new nickname. He's called Super Joe. We all thought it would have been better if he was called Blank Joe.
Oh, I got this one.
Hmm.
Big Joe.
Big Joe.
Hold that thought.
Let's just go with Big.
There we go.
Okay.
Big Joe.
Mic drop.
Big JoJo.
Big JoJo. All of us right. have their answers in.
Yeah, I can start with me. I am
very
Big.
Very simple.
As far
you
as you know,
Big?
I am Big.
Okay. Very good.
I had Bazooka.
Bazooka Joe.
That's the best answer. That's
you
the
are
best
kicking
answer
it.
You've ever given.
Yeah. You are kicking it. I can't still
we're in the middle of a game.
Hey,
excuse me. We're in the middle of a game.
Sorry.
Yes.
Well, I have an answer up here.
Oh, sorry, Mary. I forgot.
I know
I apologize.
You did. Mine's Please. A good one. Okay. G.I. Joe.
G.I. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Because that good. Ties in with your previous question.
Correct. G.I.
We're in the middle
G.I.
of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Dave?
I went with Big.
Big. Mm-hmm. Wow, you just wrote that too. Okay, Mary.
Other.
Other Joe. The other Joe.
Oh, yeah.
They're good. Wendy and Bill, yes.
Well, why the other Joe?
Friend Joe, because he wants to be your friend.
Oh, that's good. I have to say, both Sandberg and Wendy's answers sucked. What about you, Bill?
Because he's so ferocious, I put Cujo.
Oh, yeah.
That's that good. Look at clever.
Joe, did you have an answer?
Yes. No.
Right. No Joe.
We did well. Everybody did well.
Mojo. Ken and Jim. Oh, Ken and Jim, once again, you've been exposed to how much we all stink. But you've won Lou Malnati's Pizza and Apt gift cards. LouMalnati's.com, ABT.com. Bill and Wendy next.